come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Paul Gentoli. Paul and his wife Carla are the owners of Warren Creek Farms. They farm two parcels, one in the Arcata Bottoms and the other one on Warren Creek Road. Paul is a third-generation Humboldt County farmer, and Warren Creek Farm has been growing organically since 1987 and certified organic by CCOF since 1991. Paul, I know you're a third-generation farmer, but with two generations of farmers before you, tell me a little bit about their background and whether you always knew you were going to end up in farming.
My grandfather and his brothers had a small produce business in Bayside. They grew brassicas and several other things, and it was called Gentoli Produce. That was up until the mid-30s. On the other side of the family, my ancestors there were dairy people, and I followed in those footsteps, and we also grew a large garden and grew crops for cows. And I always wanted to give some vegetables a shot, and so I started Warren Creek Farms in 1987.
So you ended up farming not in the same place that your grandparents had farmed, not on the same property.
Presently, we are farming one of those two parcels is the family piece. The other one is a parcel which I purchased years ago when I started the farm.
How much land total do you have between the two locations?
We've got 100 acres between the two. However, we rent other parcels into it. So we have approximately 200 acres certified. We only farm about 40 acres of that a year.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's plenty.
Some years it seems like a whole lot, huh? Was it difficult to make the transition to certified organic farming?
No. When I started Warren Creek Farms, we weren't certified. We were growing organically, and the whole movement was young. So there was a huge learning curve there. I was fortunate enough to know previous generations who had farmed and able to ask them questions how it was done before the advent of chemicals and commercial fertilizers. And they were very, very helpful. And also finding equipment that was outdated for conventional farming these days, but yet fit in on the small organic scale.
And was it something, did your family members that had farmed before you, did they think this was a smart idea, a good way to go with farming, or did they have an opinion about that, do you think?
I think it was questioned somewhat, but knowing that that's how they did it prior, with the advent of chemicals, a lot of Humboldt County's agriculture moved into the valley. There just wasn't the opportunity. They couldn't be as competitive, even though, you know, their product that was organically grown was probably superior.
What types of crops do you grow on your two properties?
We grow potatoes, winter squash, pumpkins, dry beans, sweet corn, and then various other things for farmers market. Those are our major crops, which we sell to local grocery stores, wholesale some, and direct sales at farmers market, as well as a produce stand.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the beans. Now, I happen to be a big fan of the beans that you grow. I mean, I think you've probably seen me come down there and pick up like 25 to 50 pound sacks of your dried beans. They're pretty famous, I think. There are people all around that cook them up. Are they used a lot in restaurants?
There are a few restaurants that use them. Most of our beans are sold directly to the public at farmers market. Our Speckled Bayo bean is the one that started the whole bean thing with us. Both sides of my family grew the Speckled Bayo since they came to this country. Being Italian and Swiss, the same variety was important to both groups. We've probably been farming those beans here for over 90 years.
And I assume that you save the seed from your beans and then you plant some of them every year.
Yes, we do. Now we grow 12 to 13 varieties of beans, and we save all the seed ourselves.
Is it pretty easy to keep beans true to the variety when you raise them? Are they kind of self-pollinating plants?
No, it's quite easy to keep them true to variety. Okay. Occasionally, you'll have an off-type here and there, but it's very, very occasional.
Okay. What time of year do you plant them?
We usually try and plant the third week in May, weather permitting, and it's very important that we harvest on time in the fall, so our planting date's very important. We need to be able to harvest and dry our beans before we start getting dew at night or early rains, which dampen the soil.
What sort of equipment do you need to process the beans? Once you've grown them and you're ready to harvest them, what sort of a process happens?
We use a knife, which we built ourselves, and it cuts the bean plant off subsurface in the root zone. Then we, by hand, we windrow them or make sure that they're all free with a fork and leave them in the field for, depending on the weather, usually 7 to 10 days to dry. At that point, we go in and put them in windrows once again with a fork, trying to keep weeds and stuff out of the windrows. And then we use a combine, an edible bean combine, which thrashes the beans. At that point, there's still a lot of dirt clods, leaves, immature pods, and things like that. From there, they go to the barn and run them through a seed cleaner, which alleviates quite a bit of the product. However, it's imperative that somebody be sitting there and checking all the beans. Go in front of Jasmine, who does most of our bean cleaning and is very good at it, impeccably.
Jasmine is excellent at it. I have never in all my years found a rock or a piece of dirt or anything in the beans that I bought. So she's doing a fine job.
I have to agree. Impeccable.
Impeccable. And then from there, well, I know you don't put them in plastic yet because they haven't quite finished breathing. So they air dry some more?
Correct. We get them as dry as we possibly can in the field. It's important, but there's always some damp beans in there. We usually sort those out. But the beans are pretty high moisture when first harvested, and that's what really gives them their flavor and their taste and why they cook so readily and why they're so tender. Usually we'll go into a cardboard box and we store in a cardboard box with some ventilation. And I always recommend that people that buy our beans, they usually put them in a plastic bag to get them home. But it's important that the bag is kept open or it isn't placed in direct sunlight. They look beautiful in a jar, but in a jar with a tight fitting lid in direct sunlight, they'll condensate and spoil. So I usually leave the lid off or put them in a paper bag for the first month or so.
Okay, you're making me feel better because I was just thinking I got to go loosen the lids on all my jars right now. But they have been in a paper bag for a month, so I know I'm okay with that.
You're in good shape.
What's your favorite way to prepare them? I'm sure that you eat the dried beans at home.
I really like them with a ham hock, a little brown sugar or honey, some chili powder. They can't be beat.
Yeah, they can't be. In fact, I had them for breakfast this morning. They were fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about potato varieties that you grow. What sorts of varieties are you growing out there?
We grow a russet, a Kennebec, which was the primary potato in Humboldt County for years. At one point, there was close to 5,000 acres of potatoes in Humboldt County in the late 60s and 70s. Then we grow a red potato. We grow a yellowfin, Yukon Gold, another yellow called Divina, which is an excellent steaming potato. We grow purple potatoes. We grow fingerling potatoes.
Is that another thing that you save the seed on? Do you save the seed from year to year on your potatoes?
Most of our potatoes we were able to save the seed on. It was kind of an eye-opener. I was very skeptical about it, but it's worked fairly well for us.
How do you keep them from sprouting?
You don't. Some varieties store better than others.
Uh-huh.
So there's always a trade-off between varieties as to which one you want to grow. Some are more appealing aesthetically. However, they don't store as well. They want to sprout early. Typically, your red potato is the first one to want to sprout. And so it's a little more difficult keeping seed. We keep excess so that we can go through them and cull them a couple times during the winter. And being able to plant on time is awfully important. If we end up into June, the seed pieces have deteriorated considerably.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Paul Gentoli, and we've been having a great conversation about the beans and potatoes that are grown out there in Warren Creek Farms. But we're going to come back next week and talk some more. Thank you so much, Paul Gentoli.
You're welcome.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.